Well, the cornfields may be December cold, but the political rhetoric is heating up. You can hear it in the frequency of broadcast messages and the tone of the candidates. In Iowa, the GOP hopefuls are trying to close the deal.
Everything that Gingrich railed against when he was in the House, he went the other way when he got paid to go the other way.
You're an embarrassment to our party.
He's flipped and flopped based on...
Ron Paul versus Gingrich there. Ron Paul on Ron Paul here.
Politically, it should be easier for us to get a coalition. You know, we have Republicans, we have Democrats, we have independents, and we have people who have been turned off from politics. But why can't we get everybody to think about... the proper role of our government is to provide liberty for our people or take care of our people first. It's not to be the policeman of the world.
Ron Paul there running against Washington at a town hall in Washington, Iowa. Ron Paul seems to be experiencing a late Iowa surge, while Mitt Romney's backers are hoping for a good showing before their main event in New Hampshire. Anna Sale, reporter for our co-producer WNYC's political website, itsafreecountry.org, is there on the ground in Iowa. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, John.
So is there Gingrich fatigue going on there in Iowa, or is this the real love for Ron Paul that explains his profile at this point?
I think it's both. I mean, it should be said, driving around Iowa and watching TV, I would say probably 80% of the ads I've seen from any candidate have been targeting Gingrich. He's getting pummeled from all corners, whether it's Rick Perry, Ron Paul, Michelle Bachmann, all over. Everyone is targeting Newt Gingrich. He's the guy they're trying to tear down. But Ron Paul also has been highly organized in this state for a long time, and also driving around Iowa, what I saw were signs for Ron Paul and not a single sign for anybody else yesterday. I was keeping my eyes out, and that's what I saw. And it's interesting about that town hall in Washington, Iowa. I was interested to see who would turn out. This was in a public library room, and this is in a town that usually sees a lot of candidates. They've been slow to come to this small town. So there were some folks who were just curious and wanted to check out Ron Paul and weren't committed to him one way or the other or weren't even planning to caucus. But he got a standing ovation at the end of the event. And it wasn't just folks in Ron Paul T-shirts and Ron Paul pins. There were folks in Carhartt jackets and, you know, older women and younger people. So it was a real mix of than what you kind of typically think of as a Ron Paul crowd.
Well, let's meet some of the curious about Ron Paul that you ran into. I know you've got some clips to share with us here. Let's begin.
Well, one of the people that I thought was so interesting was this woman named Jennifer Barclay. And what she represented to me is Ron Paul didn't say it this way, but when you heard him talking about that possible coalition, it sounded to me like he's really trying to make a play to be the guy who's both the Tea Party candidate and the Occupy Wall Street candidate. And Jennifer Barclay voted for Obama in 2008. And here's what she had to say about that.
I voted for Obama last time, and I am... gravely disappointed in his presidency. And Ron Paul, he's the only candidate who I feel is speaking the truth.
Wow. Now, that's a jewel for a reporter to get someone like that who goes from Obama to Ron Paul. But how generalizable is Jennifer Barclay, and how should David Axelrod of the Obama campaign deal with that soundbite?
If you're a political strategist, what you really have to worry about are the longtime Ron Paul supporters in this state. Ron Paul ran here in 2008, and they organized for the caucus at that point. But they kept organizing after Ron Paul did not win the Iowa caucus in 2008. And they kept organizing, kept focusing on legislative races. And I talked to the former Republican Speaker of the House in Iowa, a guy named Christopher Rantz, and he talked about in that year, the Obama year in Iowa, the legislature, Republicans lost seats in both the House and the Senate. But Ron Paul's supporters turned up some interesting candidates. This is what he had to say about that.
2008 election cycle. They elected some candidates that I never saw coming. And they were very instrumental. They're very well organized, a lot of volunteers.
And do you connect that to the Ron Paul organizing?
Absolutely.
Now, he's suggesting that the organization actually does link the sort of Tea Party with the kind of disgruntled sort of change we need types who voted for Obama.
Exactly. And it was before the 2010, Tea Party sort of big turnout. They were already sort of throwing in interesting candidates in 2008 in the Obama year. And one other thing I want to mention, what I thought was really interesting, was during Ron Paul's opening remarks, he spoke for about half hour before he took questions. He dedicated the first full about 10 to 15 minutes defending his position on foreign policy, which, if you remember from the debate last week, when he just got hammered for being so clear on what he thought was the appropriate reaction to Iran, what was, you know, bringing troops home from Afghanistan. But that seems to resonate, at least with the Iowa the voters who turned out for this town hall. And something that people have told me is, you know, this is a place where a lot of people serve, and there is certainly war fatigue here. So it's not necessarily, for the people who are curious about Ron Paul, that's not been a deal breaker.
And, you know, it's interesting. He does call for, you know, the closing of hundreds of bases around the world, get out of this kind of two-front war footing in the Pacific and in the Atlantic. NATO shouldn't be in Afghanistan. He says things that to people in Iowa sounds like common sense. So is there a credibility problem for Ron Paul because he does get the perception in the mainstream media of being a bit of a fringe?
Well, I think that is what is driving these Ron Paul supporters. They want to be the people to beat back the mainstream media and show that Ron Paul has some momentum in Iowa. That was talked about not just by supporters, but up at the podium at the town hall, that let's send America a message that the media may be ignoring Ron Paul, but the people are not ignoring Ron Paul. That is the rallying cry in Iowa here. And it's I also want to mention Mitt Romney, meanwhile.
Sure.
He's picked up supporters. Christopher Rance, the former House Speaker who I mentioned before, he is a Romney supporter, but he acknowledges that his candidate does not have that same fervor among his supporters. This is what he had to say about that.
Is there an enthusiasm gap for Mitt Romney? Yeah, there's a case that can be made for that. We're hoping for no snow or ice on January 3rd. Because let's face it, if you're turning out for Michelle Bachmann, you're turning out for Michelle Bachmann.
You know, speaking of Michelle Bachmann there, Anna Sale, you know what Mississippi has in common with Iowa?
What's that?
They don't elect women candidates to Congress.
I talked to some voters about that. I think you'll hear those voices in the next segment. Iowans, when you ask them about that, they sort of dismiss it that they're not anti-woman. They say they're just waiting for the right woman.
Well, the first caucus in the primary season comes in a state where they don't like to elect women. That's an interesting issue right there. We'll pick it up in the next segment. Anna Sale, stay safe there in Iowa.
Thank you very much.
Reporter for our co-producer, WNYC's political website, itsafreecountry.org.